always, because I just feel that we need to revisit Acts, don't we? It's sort of almost like a health check for the church, and for the pastor, just to make sure that we are going in the original pattern that was designed for the church. And I know that today's Acts 2 is very powerful, but it can only be powerful if we allow it to be. It can only be very powerful if we allow it inside of us. And I'm going to already maybe shut some people's minds when I say we're speaking about the fire of Pentecost today, the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to start off by saying that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was not just an event in the past. It's not something that happened in Acts 2 and that was it. It's not just a historical moment that the apostles experienced, but it is very much for us today as what it was back then. That same fire, that same power, the same Holy Spirit that fell on the early church is available to us right now. It's available today. Because we are still living in the promise that Jesus made to his followers when he says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the Spirit's fire is for us. God has a fire that he wants to ignite in us. A fire that will empower us, embolden us, and set us on fire for his kingdom. But we need to be open to receive it. Pentecost is not just an event that we remember. It's a reality that we are called to live in. So I want to look this morning at the significance of the fire of the Holy Spirit that came upon those believers in Acts chapter 2 and how it can transform our lives today. In Acts 2, we see the apostles gathered together in unity, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. They were expectant. They were ready. And then suddenly the sound of a violent wind filled the room and flames of fire rested on each one of them. This fire wasn't just some physical phenomenon that happened, but it was a spiritual fire that ignited boldness in them. Before this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were fearful. They were confused and they were uncertain. They were still trying to deal in their heads with what had happened to Jesus. They were confused. They were disorientated. They were uncertain. And let's remember that Peter had denied Jesus only just a few weeks before that. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, everything changed. The same Peter who had been afraid to identify with Jesus now stood up in front of a massive crowd and boldly proclaimed the gospel of Christ. This fire, this Holy Spirit fire, ignites boldness in us. The Spirit of God fills us with courage. And we don't do things on our own anymore. Just like the apostles, when the fire of the Holy Spirit falls on you, you will have boldness to speak out out for Jesus in a world that is so desperately needing him. Whether it's speaking to a friend, sharing your testimony, or standing for the truth in a hostile world. That's a hard one. The Holy Spirit will give us boldness to speak out. He will give us that boldness that we need. The question I have today is, are you ready to be bold? Are you ready to let the fire of the Spirit burn away your fear and your doubt? Because the fire of Pentecost is still here. The Spirit's fire will bring purification. We also see in Acts 2 that the fire of the Holy Spirit brought this purification. Fire is often associated with purification in the Bible. When something gets put through the fire, impurities are burned away, leaving only what is pure and refined. The Holy Spirit's fire will purify us. It will burn away the things in our lives that do not belong there. The fire of the Spirit wants to burn away sin, doubt, and the things that hinder our relationship with God. The fire of the Spirit is not just about empowerment. It's about sanctification. It's about God refining us, making us holy, and transforming us into the image of Christ. When the Holy Spirit fills us, He doesn't just empower us to serve, but He purifies us. He's making us more and more like Jesus. The things that once controlled you and me, the things that once held us back, begin to fall away as we are filled with the fire of the Spirit. And we become a vessel fit for God's glory. We need to go through this purification process. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to purify us, to ask Him to burn away the things in our lives that are not pleasing to God, and to allow His holiness to fill us. The Spirit's fire will bring passion for His kingdom. When the Holy Spirit filled the believers in Acts 2, they didn't keep quiet. They didn't stay in their comfort zones. They went out and they began to speak of the mighty works of God. The fire stirred up in them a passion for God's kingdom. They were so filled with the Spirit that they couldn't help but proclaim the good news of Jesus to everyone around them. The fire of the Spirit will bring a passion inside our hearts for His kingdom. A passion that will drive us to serve, to witness, to love the lost, and to do the work that we've been called to do for the kingdom. The fire isn't something that stays hidden. It's something that spills over. Have you ever seen a fire just staying in one place? It would spread out, won't it? And the only way we're going to stop it from spreading out is if we put a fire buffer in the way. Let's not do that with the Holy Spirit's fire. Let's not try and contain it. When the Spirit fills you, you begin to feel the weight of the lost souls around you. You begin to desire God's will above your own. And you begin to see every chance as a chance to advance the kingdom of God. This is the passion that churches need today. It's missing. It's missing around the world. We need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit's fire that will waken us up to the urgency of the hour. There's a world out there that is in desperate need for the love of Christ. And the Spirit's fire will ignite a passion in our heart to reach them. The Spirit's fire will bring unity and purpose. When the Spirit fell on the believers, it wasn't just for individual empowerment. It was for the unity and the mission of the whole church. Acts 2 verse 1 tells us that they were all gathered in one accord. And the Holy Spirit fell on them as a unified body. The fire of the Spirit will bring unity in the body of Christ. It will bring a sense of purpose and mission that will transcend all division. And in the same way that the apostles were empowered to speak in different languages to reach people from different nations, the Spirit unites us with a common goal to spread the message of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. The fire of Pentecost is for the whole church. It's not about individual empowerment. It's about empowering the whole body to go out and to fulfill the mission of God that we have been called to. God is calling us to be united in purpose and to move forward together in His power. And yes, the fire is for us today. The fire of the Spirit that fell on the believers is for us. The same fire that empowered the apostles to proclaimly speak the gospel is available to us today. The same fire that brought purification and passion for the kingdom is waiting to ignite our hearts. The same fire that unites believers for a common purpose is ready to unite us for this hour. The Spirit's fire is not just for the apostles, but it's for us. And it's for you and it's for me today. So if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling distant from God, come and receive the fire of the Spirit. Let Him ignite something in your heart that will never burn out. Let Him empower you, purify you, and set you on fire for the kingdom of God. I would not be able to speak on Acts 2 this morning without a call to action. And I'm going to do a call to action. I'm going to do a call out this morning to receive that fire. We're not called to live by our own strength or wisdom, but to rely on the Spirit, the very presence of God that empowers, equips, and transforms us. The Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is given to every believer as a gift. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus Himself tells His disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The power that Jesus speaks of isn't just about physical strength. It's the supernatural strength to live out our calling, to bear witness to Christ, and to overcome the challenges of life. And when we answer the call to receive the Holy Spirit, we invite God's Spirit into our hearts to empower us in so many ways. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, guides us in the truth, gives us boldness to live a life that reflects God's love and truth. We receive the fruits of the Spirit, things like love, joy, peace, and patience. And these qualities begin to shape our character. The Spirit also equips us with spiritual gifts to serve others and to build up the body of Christ. But how do we receive this power? First, we need to come with a heart of openness and surrender, ready to welcome Him, with a desire not to live in our own will, but to live by God's will. And Jesus invites us in Luke chapter 11 verse 13, He says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" That last bit is a call to action from Jesus. Ask Him. Receiving the Spirit isn't just a one-time event. It's a continuous relationship. Every day we can be filled anew, seeking His guidance, His power, and His presence in our lives. It's not about our own abilities or efforts. but about relying on God's Spirit to lead us, to empower us, and to transform us every single day that we breathe. So I urge you today to answer the call. That if you've never asked for the Holy Spirit, if you're feeling dry or distant from God this morning, know that He is ready to fill you afresh. His power is not just for the apostles or for the super spiritual. It's for all who believe, for all who are willing to receive. And I pray that this morning we'll open our hearts and trust in the power that the Spirit brings. That we may be empowered to live the lives that God has called us to live. To walk in the fullness of His Spirit and to be a shining a light to this community and to this world around us. I know the importance of this in my own life. I would not have got through what I got through without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wouldn't be able to stand up and speak to people about Christ if I didn't have the boldness that the Holy Spirit brings. I wouldn't be able to go up to somebody who I see and I can see that they're hurting and go and say to them, "Are you all right?" And then to tell them about Jesus. Janet's known me a long time. Think back 35 years ago. I would never have dreamt of doing that. Too fearful. So scared of making a fool of myself. That every day on the mission field, Janet and I to pray and ask to be refilled with the Holy Spirit every day, because we were giving so much out every day that if we try to go into the new day without asking for a fresh and filling of the Spirit, then we were setting ourselves up for an epic fail. We cannot do things in our own strength and in our own wisdom. We need the fire of God within us. And I know that it's sad that in churches around the world, many people fight over the Holy Spirit. How sad is that? That's diabolical. Yeah, I also used to think, ooh. We've got to let Him in, and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit into this church, and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to move here, and we've got to step aside and let His fire fall. I believe in the afternoons we're going to see that. But we need to be equipped. So I'm going to do that call out to you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Don't feel, if you don't feel that you don't want to do it and you want to talk to me about it, come and talk to me. Talk, not challenge. Because I'm just going to give you these scriptures again. Bible is clear as anything. We shouldn't need to challenge it. It's there. I'm not trying to do a Toronto year, all right? I just want to make that very clear. I believe that everything that the Holy Spirit does is controlled and gentle. And He works in us differently because each of us is different. And I don't want you to walk out here feeling under condemnation because you are so deeply loved by God. But I do want you to leave here full of fire. That's my prayer this morning. That you'll answer the call to action. That you'll walk in the fullness of His Spirit. That your light will shine bright. That you'll be empowered, bold, and purified. I'm not going to lead you in this because this is very personal. It's a personal thing. So I'm not going to put words in your mouth and try and lead you in a prayer. But what I am going to do is I'm going to ask you to not try and make it complicated. Just ask for it. What does Luke 11:13 said? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who? That's all we need to do. Just ask Him. Just ask Him.
Can I just say what Holy Spirit means in Greek?
Yes.
It's Holy Breath,
yes,
with fire. It's God's Holy Breath with fire. So
that's right.
We do have the Holy Spirit within. That's all we breathe out.
Yeah.
Spirit of God.
The African word is moya, which is breath. So just ask. Let's just really come in very, very quietly and just ask Him and just ask, like Luke 11:13 says, just come and ask Him for it. You might be desiring a spiritual gift. You are. I'm going to pray for you. We'll gather around you and pray that you receive it. I know, Pat, I did tell you that I made you wait for today, didn't I? I can't help but to think that the afternoon service, can you imagine if these guys that come here in the afternoons were spirit-filled? What would be happening in the town centre down Frogmore Way? Huh? Imagine. That fire was imparted on them. But it could be imparted on us today. I know what you need prayer for, Pat. You told me already.
I'm going to get concerned now.
Yeah. Can we put, come around you?
So
you, yes, sit down.
I usually land upon the floor.
Okay, sit down then. We'll keep the dignity intact.
Yeah, I spend so much time on
the floor. Discernment, huh?